Hello to the peoples! We are live! It is the NXT TakeOver Reaction Edition! Where we're gonna talk all about what just took place in Chicago not 5 minutes ago. And holy mother of God.
Oh, we have reactions.
We have reactions for you. Oh, the main roster is so screwed.
Yeah, they are, in a word, screwed. So, we're live in 2 seconds on Twitch, because I gotta stop one thing. Stop that.
He's producing, y'all.
I'm producing.
He's producing.
Well, our stream was re-airing Fortnite from last night.
There's nothing wrong with re-airing Fortnite from last night.
I know, so I have to stop it so I can actually go live on it, on the thing. It's a click of a button. There we go. We should be live. Yep, we're good now.
So wait, nobody heard us?
No,
we've just been talking to, like, nothing?
No. TuneIn Radio, Shoutcast, they all heard it.
But not the Twitch.
Not the Twitch.
So the Twitch is live now.
The Twitch should be live now, yes.
Okay. You're going to hear some of the same jokes if you were on the previous streams and you weren't on the Twitch, because the Twitch did not benefit of the jokes. So.
But remember, none of that counts. It's only the tasteful side move. We're going to get into it all. Right here, right now, it's the Rag Extra Reviews NXT TakeOver Chicago.
WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hardy.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Well, I knew you'd come.
Everyone, welcome to the Rack Extra right here on WildTalkRadio.com. That's right, it is the NXT TakeOver Chicago 2 review edition of the Rack Extra. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me tonight is Sorokin.
We're here, we're live, we're streaming on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, GoWork.net, streaming live on TuneIn Radio. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network. You can find us on twitch.tv/WTRLive. You can chat there. You can chat at rackradioshow.com and wildtalkradio.com. You can tweet us at wildtalkradio, at rackradioshow, at linswar throughout the night. If you got comments about this hell of a show called NXT TakeOver Chicago 2, and the name of the song we're coming into is Uncomfortable, I mean, that kind of describes some of the moments you saw during this show?
Uncomfortable is one word for it. I'm pretty sure the wrestlers are a lot more uncomfortable than we are.
Yeah, and the other song is called Painless, and I think there was a lot of pain.
There was a ton of pain.
Ton of pain, yeah.
Somebody aired their kink in a big way tonight. Like, it's good to know that writer's still on staff, and they're still, you know, putting it out there for the masses to show everybody exactly how kinky they are, because we had handcuffs, we had breath play, we had beatings, we had just, yeah. Somebody just went full bore tonight. And we're going to talk about it, right?
Yeah. First, we have the one and the only...
The NXT analyst, TJ Omega.
I'm a man with a brand. Omega, first reaction.
My spine hurts after that.
It should. It should. It really, really should. So that's one. And now here's the other.
Hailing from the southwest corner of the prison, the human meat shield, who may die before this intro is up. The assistant to the assistant NXT analyst. He's dead now. He was and will forever be the intern Kane Kitten.
Yeah, I'm not the only one dead after tonight. We had attempted murder galore between this network event.
It was one hell of an event from Chicago tonight, Lindsay.
I would agree with that. You know, and we have one more, which emanates tomorrow. And I'm just going to say this. I said it on the pre-show. I'll say it again, because now everybody's here. And that is, oh, the main roster is so screwed. Oh, they're so screwed. Like, oh my God. You had 5 matches on this show, and I would say... 4 delivered, 1 tried really hard but didn't quite get there.
Didn't quite get all of it.
There was a swing and a miss, and we're going to talk about it.
So they, well, that's fitting in Chicago, a swing and a miss, and he strikes out.
Hey.
Broke that point curse. Out.
Did I say the Cubs? There are two teams.
When was the last time the Phillies won the World Series?
10 years ago.
When was the last time the Cubs won the World Series?
When was the last time the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl? I don't know. Oh, yeah, about 4 months ago, 5 months ago.
We're not talking about the Philadelphia Eagles. We're talking about baseball. And the Eagles aren't baseball.
I just have to remind people of the thing that happened, that the Super Bowl is a thing.
Anyway, we're not here to talk sports ball. Sports ball is for later. We need to talk NXT TakeOver. Chicago, part 2.
So we were completely wrong. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. We were wrong what the opener was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of glad they went with what they did with the opener. And
oh, yeah.
And put Dream and Ricochet on second. Because, okay, so the opener was the tag team match. O'Reilly and Strong with Adam Cole in their corner against Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan.
Yes. So the match started as a solid wrestling match. Nothing crazy. Holds, more holds, wrestling. And then they started to kill each other.
Someone hacked their copy of WWE 2K18.
This was a hell of an opener. Okay, the double blockbuster spot I thought in the ring was cool, and then they did it outside, and that was even cooler.
Ow. Simply put, ow.
Yeah.
All the ouch.
But a spectacular ouch.
Oh, it looked fantastic. But God save them for doing that bump.
They went all out tonight. They wanted to impress.
Yeah.
And
everyone in that match had something to prove, because guess what? No one was really looking at that match as a potential show stealer. No one.
It was the cooldown match.
Yeah, you're like, this is halfway through. Like, okay, Ricochet and Velveteen are going to go all out. We need to cool down before we get to the championship match and the real main event.
Yeah, that's what it started like for the first 5 minutes, 7, 8 minutes. And I was like, okay, never mind.
It took them a minute. They had to get warmed up. And then once they hit second and third gear, yeah, they just started going all out.
Okay, here's a comment from Ash in the Twitch chat. Hack WWE 2K18 more like the provided the Switch version.
Yeah, probably.
Nice shot right there. Like that.
So yeah. So this was just this was fantastic. I loved everything about this.
WWE Creative in our chat room goes, I have good news from the pay-per-view. None of our medical staff were attacked by CM Punk or Colt Cabana.
Good to know.
Thank you, WWE Creative. Keep going, Lindsay.
Don't worry. They're attacked by Punk. They wouldn't feel it anyway.
Ooh. Ouch. Harsh. Let's just hope they're not having any affairs with any of the females backstage.
Hey-o.
Anyway, moving on.
Wait, so that's the secret to getting things removed from the...
You think dating the doctor or sleeping with him, like, she could have had that removed any time.
I know, right? That would have...
I don't think he was that kind of doctor. But maybe.
He was not providing her with that type of treatment?
He was not providing
her with that. Is that what you're saying? He was providing...
Sexual healing.
Yes. Sexual healing. So anyway, moving on. We're not going there with this. We're talking NXT TakeOver. We're not...
Lawsuits do mental damage. Adam Cole was ejected in this matchup. That was the first time in the first 15 minutes of the show where someone actually got booed.
Yeah, because the crowd was all over the ref.
It was the ref before we got Adam Cole. Oh, this was great. It was a really, really good match. In the end, the Undisputed Era retained. No one should be shocked by that one.
But they retained in spectacular fashion.
They retained in spectacular fashion. The ending was sort of a little weak, but... Overall.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was a little sloppy there at the end. Not too bad, but just kind of a rigmarole of moves that just seemed to finish it off.
I think they were trying something and it just didn't really work. Like, I think they had the idea of that double submission, get out of it, double counter into the finish, and it just didn't quite execute the way that they wanted it to.
Yeah, because the first part of that was great. The last part of that was great. But there's a disconnect in between the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of that escape, that was a really creative way of breaking out of the double submission.
Oh, yeah. The roll through with the kick. Yeah, that was a great thing. Great use of the leg to break the submission.
It's not something that you normally see in that spot. You usually see, like, you'd expect Adam Cole to run out really quick and do something, or someone to get distracted. You didn't expect one guy to get kind of flipped up and then just kick his partner's opponent to get him to release.
Yeah, the majority of the commentary in this match was all three men yelling, "Oh, still better than what we normally have on Raw."
God, harsh.
No one pulling punches tonight.
Nope.
Chat room is on fire tonight,
they're on fire.
We should also note that Mauro Ranallo was not at this show. He was calling somewhere else, and Rock and I were talking about this, where Rock mentioned that it was kind of a little refreshing not to have Mauro there. Because it was a change of pace.
Yeah, less screaming. And then there is just, like, legit, like, 3 minutes after I made that comment to her, the crowd... During the main event start chanting, "Mama Mia." I was like,
"We'll tell you why."
Yeah, Thanks for filling in.
Thank you for filling in for Mauro.
I'm sure he greatly appreciates. But yeah, he was missed, but it was a nice change of pace to have a different sort of storytelling and commentary team working the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like Mauro could have been used in certain spots. Mainly in the Ciampa. Johnny match. But yeah, anyway, moving on. So Undisputed Era retains.
And Devil's Fan will answer that question when we get to the main event. Kari Sane was in the crowd.
She's so cute. I love her. She had her telescope and she was looking around.
And then go ahead.
She's adorable. Moving on.
There were more blockbusters in this match than WWE Studios history.
Ooh.
Damn.
Creative is on fire right now.
Creative is on fire.
Two to zero, not hard odds.
And then, out of nowhere, we saw a legend return to WWE. When it comes crashing down and it hurts inside. I mean, that's what he was.
I will admit, it's a daring way of getting over the whole racism thing by becoming a black man 40 years younger.
The crowd loved it, though.
It was tremendous. It was the Velveteen Dream and Ricochet with Velveteen Dream doing his best Hulk Hogan entrance.
Are we going to talk about how he trolled Ricochet by wearing a version of Ricochet's tights from Lucha Underground?
Yeah, the Prince Puma tights.
That was great.
Yeah.
I feel like he spends all of his NXT paycheck on special tights to taunt his opponents.
I can respect that. I respect any wrestler that does that, because it's just another layer in the storytelling, and it's amazing. Like you can I said tell it, he's thinking about it.
I said it during this match. It's like, I love how Velveteen's matches have a story and a psychology to them other than I'm going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is a drive to his character. It's not simply about the victory. It's about a message he has to send or something he has to get, which makes it interesting to watch his matches.
And something he has to prove.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, he had everything perfectly scouted in this match. Every time Ricochet tried to do something, he had the counter. It just played out so well all throughout the whole thing.
I will say they did kind of get off to a little bit of a bumpy start. Like, they just, they were a little awkward in the first minute or so of the match, and then they settled into it, and that's when they really started going. And this was fantastic. Because it's like, I would say the first 5 minutes of this match was just Ricochet taking Dream to school.
Oh, you want to read that comment, Brent?
Creative?
Yeah, read it.
Okay. Laying on the Spanish announce table, Velveteen being so disrespectful. That's going to tarnish the red and yellow.
I think it's tarnished enough as is. I don't think he can do any worse to that. I mean, honestly, that was like the most extra. Can we just talk about that? How Velveteen's laying across the Spanish announce table, poised up on one hand, and Ricochet comes out, does his entrance in his angel wing jacket, by the way. That was like and there's like a shot where Ricochet's doing his stuff in the ring, and Velveteen's laying across the table, and it's like, this is the most extra sort of like match entrance taunt I think I've ever seen in my life. Like, there was just so much going on in that one shot. It was amazing.
Let's just call it what it was. Foreplay.
Yeah.
It really was.
This was foreplay.
Kinda.
This was foreplay.
So the build up to this matchup basically was, what you can do, I can do better. And that was the entire matchup tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very much so.
They both were trying to outdo one another. And oh my god, they did.
I did not expect Velveteen to be able to hang with Ricochet that well.
Well, we have to give props to Ricochet, because Ricochet did a really, really good job of making him, like, look really, really good. I mean, not to say that Velveteen is bad, but Ricochet really, really did a lot to make Velveteen look good. And vice versa. I mean, Velveteen was selling for Ricochet like nobody's business.
Oh, yeah. And then both using each other's taunts was great.
Oh, my God. When Ricochet went for the, what was it?
The Purple Rainmaker.
The Purple Rainmaker, and he did Dream's taunt. It was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Why?
The line from Dream in the match was, I'm homegrown, you belong in a bingo hall, I'm a wrestling god.
He's screaming, I am a wrestling god at him, and while he slaps him.
Somewhere, I don't know where, but JBL set up.
Yep.
Wait, what? Who's a wrestling god now? What?
Yeah, JBL was like, huh?
Huh? Who? What? So I had one complaint in this matchup, and it was the finish.
Okay,
wait,
we're going to have some contention here.
Contention, discussion, and everything. What? On a show? Nah. Go, Brent.
Before that, can we just talk about the rolling DVD off the top rope?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
God.
That was great.
He nailed that, and I think everyone in the arena sat up and went, what the fuck?
Yeah, that was epic. That was, like, so damn epic. It was like, wow. Okay, we're going there with this.
Okay, they've just taken it into fourth gear.
So, the finish was all, Dream miss a coast-to-coast elbow drop. It was creative. And I get the point of it, which Omega's about to make for it. But he could have done a better elbow drop to do the move, because it just looked really, I'm just going to stretch my arm and not actually do an elbow drop. And I sort of made it, but I really ended up about 5 feet short. But my arms are really long.
Omega, please make the point.
Velveteen knows what he can do in the ring. He knows what he is capable of. When he went to the top rope to deliver that elbow, he knew it was going to be a train wreck. He knew it was going to be sloppy. And that's the whole point of the match. He's trying to one-up Ricochet, because Ricochet just went for his big finish from way farther away than it had any right to.
He tried to shoot a really long shooting star press. Dream got the legs up for a two count.
Yeah, so this is what Velveteen was doing the whole match. Okay, you did that. I'm going to jump from even farther. He knows it's going to look sloppy, but the point of this match is Ricochet is one of a kind.
Oh, yeah. I get that.
So when he comes off the rope and it is a sloppy reach trying to reach all the way, it's the perfect end to the story. He got caught trying to one-up Ricochet. And you said it. That was the match. One-upping each other over and over, Velveteen hit the point where he couldn't go for that anymore. And that's what lost him the match.
I get that. You could just bent the arm a little bit if we're
no elbow. It's supposed to look sloppy though.
Yeah,
like it's a sloppy elbow drop, and it's completely intentional because that's what tells the story.
But it wasn't even an elbow drop. It was just a stretch.
That's the point.
Physically for Rock, it was a little bit lacking. Psychologically, it was freaking perfect.
Here's the thing. If it looked like a good elbow drop and he just missed, then he just did what Ricochet did. If he's a sloppy as hell one because he couldn't pull it off, then Ricochet is right. He is one of a kind, and Velveteen was wrong. That's the point of the match. That's the point of the spot.
I just had a nitpick on something because there's really nothing else to nitpick, and I was just nitpicking something.
See, I liked it from the standpoint that it's kind of vet versus rookie, and it showed Velveteen's lack of experience, lack of polish a little bit versus Ricochet. And I like that aspect of it where it's like Dream is trying, like you said, trying to one up him, but he just can't quite do it because he just doesn't have the experience or the knowledge or whatever to get it done. But that doesn't mean it won't come.
Okay, so Ricochet wins the match. They got a lot of time. Velveteen Dream held his own. Good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, far better than I expected it to be.
It was, okay, as we did on the preview, it was closer to Black Dream than Ono Dream.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's next?
Up next, we had a little bit of a cool down, not a lot, but a little bit of a cool down, in Shayna Baszler taking on the beloved nutty Scottish fruitcake, Scottish wifey, Nikki Cross. There was some mind fucking going on in this match. Oh my god. God.
I love that crazy little unicorn so much.
Nikki Cross screwed with Shayna Baszler for the first 5 minutes of this match, and Shayna did not know what to do with her. She was just like, the fuck is going on right now? She was so confused.
There was one point where Nikki was just humping the ring.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Things we learned about Nikki Cross tonight. She's into breath play. She's into pain. And I'm pretty sure she hit a climax at the end of that match.
Yeah, I don't think she passed out. I think she finished.
She was an afterglow.
Yeah, there was afterglow after that match. Like she came to and she was like, okay, I want to do that again. That was fun. But yeah, there wasn't as much wrestling in this because Nikki was Nikki and she was fighting Shayna and she was clawing and biting and everything that Nikki Cross does. And Shayna's trying to fight her the way Shayna knows how, and Shayna didn't know how to take her because Nikki is that unconventional that, again, Shayna doesn't know what to do with her.
She spent the entire lead up to this match just intimidating everyone else on the roster, using mind games, as she likes to say, breaking them down mentally so that she can break them down physically. She then faced a little nutball that you can't do that with, and the entire match was her going, what do I do now?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like trying to wrestle a humanoid version of Animal from the Muppets.
Yep.
Yeah, basically. Like, everything that she did, Cross took and then smiled. And it was unnerving.
It was awesome. The smile as she passed out.
Oh, yeah.
Tremendous.
There was some beautiful storytelling going on in this match, and I would love to see another one between the two, just to see Shayna try to figure out Nikki Cross, and she just can't do it. Because I feel like Nikki could be a really good opponent for her, because again, it ruins Shayna's whole stick. Nikki's not afraid of her, so now what does Shayna do? It forces her to have more dimension beyond the, hey, I'm the former MMA, I'm a badass, I'm a fighter, I'm uber scary character.
Mm-hmm. I thought this was, in terms of a pure wrestling standpoint, Shayna's best pure wrestling standpoint match, in a way.
She hasn't had a lot. So no. I would expect her to still be able to improve, especially someone in there who's came up in wrestling like Nikki.
She should have thrown a dolly at Shayna and worked for Connor. Damn!
Ooh.
Damn. Creative is on fire. But yeah, the smile to and passing out was was a great storytelling aspect to the match. It wasn't long. It was about 10 minutes. It told the story.
But that's all it really needed to be.
Yeah,
it didn't need to be long.
Nope.
They were saving that for something else.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We had EC3 in the crowd. We had Keith Lee in the crowd. So there you go. Keith Lee signed with WWE NXT, which we mentioned on WTR Sunday a couple weeks ago.
And should we note, Ethan actually stayed in the crowd, I think, the whole way through.
Yeah, he was.
Lars match.
I think he may have been out there during the main event, too. Not sure.
But he was living his best life, taking selfies with fans.
Yes, he was.
He was enjoying himself. Bless Ethan. Bless him so much.
Then we got to the championship match.
Yes, up next. Aleister Black versus Lars Sullivan.
Oh, our fun had to end somewhere.
Lars Sullivan, the pizza man, Lindsay?
Something like that. Yeah, I told Rock when he walked out and he had his little circle thing. I was like, why is he walking out on a pizza?
Pizza on fire.
A pizza on fire. It's a flaming pizza. You know, I had hopes for this match, and they were unfounded. This was not a good mix.
It was okay.
I feel like Lars and Aleister clashed. Not in a bad way. We're going to get to that. We are so going to get that to that WWE creative. Hold that thought. Don't put it in the comments, because we want to keep that on the screen.
I got it. He can keep commenting. I got it.
Okay, keep commenting. We've got a screenshot of it. This was, they clashed, not in a good way. I mean, I don't know.
I mean,
this didn't do it.
When I compared this to Frankenstein versus Dracula, I didn't actually think Lars would be performing like a half-dead homunculus.
We talked about this during the show in our chat. There's a, you know, when a big guy works up a slower style, that's one thing. This was like tortoise slow. This was unnervingly, really badly slow on his part.
Yeah, yeah. Aleister's known for being really, really quick and being able to hit those strikes at any moment. And Lars just like slowed him down. But to be fair, there were some really cool things that Lars did. Like when he basically picked Aleister up, threw his leg up over his neck and hung Aleister off his body while doing a submission using his neck. I mean, that was cool. And he was like tossing Aleister around like a rag doll.
Yeah, that's a stretch muffler for the record.
You could definitely tell he just couldn't keep up with Black, though. I mean, you had the one spot where he's supposed to stand up to catch a Black Mass to the back of the head. He just wasn't up in time. It was a miss by a mile, and then he still went down as if the force of the wind.
I will say, his fall and sell was better than the gender fall and sell.
It was timed. It was on time, at least.
Right. It was on time. It was like, oh, he just was short on the kick, and he missed because he was just far. He was just late with it. And, like, yeah, at least he fell at the right point.
To be fair, it is World Cup season, so we did need at least one flop throughout the night.
There you go.
We finally gave you Nathan Jones versus The Undertaker.
We never needed it. We never needed it. But here's WWE Creative's comment. Black Mass didn't fully hit. It was more Shades of Gray Mass. Fair.
Fair point. Accurate.
Accurate. I don't think Aleister was too pleased with the way this match went. He looked a little pissed off at the end. And Lars cut the inside of his lip at some point.
Okay. The ending was cool. Sans the miss Black Mass. Hitting two of them on him where he no-sold the first one and then hit him again with it. That was cool. That was a cool finish.
Yeah, it takes a little away from that when there is that bad miss just about a minute beforehand and then they go into that spot. It let the air out of the balloon just a bit.
The bubble burst a little bit. Yeah, I get that. But it was still a cool finish. But Aleister Black is still your NXT champion.
Because I think there was a no doubt about that.
No. Not in the least.
I don't think anybody was worried he wasn't going to be.
I think the ref had a better chance of winning this match than Lars.
Yeah.
Fair. So, yeah, this wasn't the best, but there's always one match that is not the best, and sadly had to be Aleister's this go-round, so...
Who's ready for SummerSlam's takeover Sullivan versus Black 2?
No.
No.
Yeah. Come on, they can do like a submission match or a last man standing. Come on, really make it fun. No.
No.
Just, no.
Although I will say this, that if Alistair is at SummerSlam, he and The Undertaker need to find each other and just, like, stare at each other for a minute. Because I have a friend and I who are on board with Alistair and Taker meeting and Taker adopting him and making him his protege. I don't know.
Anyway, moving on.
Thoughts on that. That's where my brain went during this match because it just couldn't focus. So now we're going to go to the main event, aka the attempted murder, aka the entire kick to the feels that we all needed, but we all really did need. That is Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa in a Chicago street fight. Holy shit, this match.
Before we get to the match, Candace walks up to Johnny, hands him a card, and says, "Kick his ass."
That's God, a good wifey right there. That's a
I was so scared at that point. I was so scared. I thought it was a portent of things to come.
No.
Everything that was good and right in the world almost died at that moment. But I do have to say, I heart Johnny, that uber nerd, and Tommaso for what they came out with earlier tonight.
And just mention it. Tell them what happened.
You essentially had Steve Rogers, who was Johnny Gargano in full Captain America garb, going up against, and I believe he had this on the front of his shirt, Tommaso Ciampa as Thanos. So you had the Battle of Wakanda right there in the ring tonight.
It matched. It matched.
Pretty much. Not as one-sided, but yes.
This match was utter insanity. It was beautiful. It was horrific. We had crowd diving, and I have to say, one of the most clever plant jobs I have seen in a really long time. And that is, Tommaso and Johnny are in the crowd. They're beating the crap out of each other. Tommaso grabs a convenient fan sign that happens to be one for Johnny Gargano, and he's trying to rip it, and he can't rip it, and he's having problems with it, and Johnny, like, gets it away from him, and, you know, is feeling the sign, and hey, look, it's double-sided. It's two pieces of poster board taped together. Gee, I wonder if there's anything in it, and that's why, you know, Tommaso couldn't rip it. Oh, hey, look, there's a stop sign in the sign.
Wait, wow, that fan was creative. I'm so glad he came and got that into the building. How did he do that? I mean, I thought that they would have checked him at security, right? No?
I mean, if it was a piece of cardboard that says CM Punk, they'll rip it away.
But it was just a smiley face, so it's okay. I guess he can get that in. It just
to be fair, no, one side was a smiley face. The other side was, hey, Johnny, use this sign.
I mean, you know, you can get that in and just sneak it right through, you know.
Actually, they don't check signs because it's just poster board. And if you're holding multiple pieces of poster board, they generally don't check them because reasons. But the guy just got confused. He thought it was a fans bring the weapons match, which, fair. It is Chicago. So he brought a weapon, total respect. And then right after this, after Johnny's beating the crap out of Tommaso with a stop sign, Tommaso gets up. And it's kind of stumbling around. And he turns around and Johnny just comes flying off the barricade essentially out of nowhere and takes out Tommaso.
Yep.
It's like, holy crap!
There are so many great spots on this one. You can't even recap them all. It just was...
This is one of those you can't really recap. This is one of those you just have to tell people to go watch it because there was so much in this match. There was some beautiful... Like, the whole pay-per-view had wonderful storytelling, but this had the best because there's so much backstory. There's so much history between these two. And they did a wonderful job with it.
If I have to highlight one move, though, that just typifies this match and just kind of made you stop for a minute to go, oh dear God, they're trying to kill each other. The white noise by Ciampa on the moved steps.
Oh.
Are we going to talk about the table spot?
We'll get there. We'll get there.
We'll get there.
When Ciampa pulled that, because I saw him going for it and I'm like, okay, how are they going to, because the stairs are pulled out probably 6 feet, or no, yeah, about 6 feet from where they normally are in the corner, flat against the ring. And all I can think is, okay, Tommaso's going to go for that. He's going to miss. And Johnny's going to, I don't know, power bomb or something. They never land that move. And when he pulled it off, it just, kudos for Johnny Gargano for taking that move is all I have to say.
So what they found was something harder than the hardest part of the ring. They found steps.
Damn.
Technically not part of the ring, but yeah. Mm-hmm. No, there was a running theme tonight of fuck your vertebrae.
Yeah.
Because, like, we had the one spot during the opener where I don't know how Lorsey's still walking. Because he went spine first diagonally against the edge of the ring.
Yeah, Lorcan, not Lorsey.
Sorry.
Who's Lorsey?
It's been a long night, okay?
Then you had Velveteen pull off the outside the ring suplex to
you never
Ricochet.
See them do that. That's always a spot they tease. Like, how often do you actually see them do it?
Wait, last takeover.
Okay, well, it's takeover.
I was going to say Gargano and Ciampa pulled that off as well, because I remember we saw that one and went, oh, Jesus. And then they took it up a notch by doing the superplex outside.
So we had handcuffs. We had Ciampa rip up the ring, part of the ring. He pulled up the mats and the canvas and everything.
Which, I have to talk about that for a second, because he probably did it the smartest way that I've seen anybody do that. And that is, he used hedge clippers to cut the strings on the ring to get the mat up.
Yep.
Like, everybody else unties it and unstrings it. Tommaso Ciampa doesn't have time for that shit. He just cuts it.
I need to murder someone really quickly. Now. How do I do this?
I need... murder has to happen. Now! Okay. Snip, and done.
There was a part in this matchup where Ciampa had some move and Gargano's on the outside, but Gargano's getting back up and Ciampa's checking on his knee. And he's trying to fix his knee brace, and you see Gargano look up, and then you see Tommaso go, oh crap, he's coming from a knee. Oh my god, he's coming from a knee. And Johnny just goes for the knee, and Ciampa has no choice but to take the punishment, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
You had back and forth stuff with the crutches. Yes, Tommaso had a camouflage crutch, because why not?
I do like the back and forth with the allusions to the previous match where Ciampa actually did use the broken crutch on Johnny and tried to put him in a cross face with the crutch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we now make our way up the ramp. Tommaso goes, "We're like brothers. You were like family. You did this to yourself."
Yeah, this looks familiar too.
Now you say bye, Candace, and bye to your whole career, and then toss them into the LED wall where it all began 1 year ago.
God.
And then we're just moving around there, and oh my god, conveniently, like it was planned or something, there are crates stacked up with two tables just so happened to be there. I just, you know, they had no room in the back, so they just had a pile of the crates up right there.
Are you a stage coordinator for WWE? You don't know what has to and has to not be out there.
I'm just saying, you just never see them just there. You see guys run by all the time, you never see them.
Well, they needed them in Chicago.
Okay.
For reasons.
Okay, for reasons. I get it. And they get up on top of them, and then
someone backstage is freaking out. It's like, we were bringing home so many deep dish pepperonis in that.
So the dastardly Tommaso pulls off Gargano's wedding ring and spits on it.
At that point, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's such a good moment for that. He is the best heel that they have going right now in either main roster or NXT. It's the simple things.
I was honestly waiting at that point for Candace to come out and just beat Tommaso's ass.
Oh, yeah.
We were all just waiting for it. It's like, all right, where's Candace? Where is she?
So Gargano recovers, hits the Celtic Cross from the top of the pile of crates through the tables, and then we're calling for medics. And at this point is where the crowd started chanting, "Mamma Mia!"
That spot.
Right there.
Oh, my God. God, that spot.
That was a hell of a spot.
That was scary. That was brutal.
So we're spending like 3-4 minutes. The medics come out. They put Ciampa on the thing, put the neck brace, and just Johnny sitting on top of the crates, thinking. And it's like, okay, what am I going to do? And they start to wheel Tommaso away, and then Johnny just gets off of it.
This is what I was like. This is where my brain goes. Like, this is kind of what I'm expecting as a wrestling fan, because I've been watching WWE this long, versus them doing it right in a way that I didn't know I wanted it to happen. Because in my brain, I'm like, I want them to pick up that stretcher board, and while they're holding him up, I want Johnny to come off those boxes with a frog splash.
Yeah. Something.
That's what I want. But no, he's sitting there and he's looking at his bare finger.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking at his ring finger with nothing on it. He's feeling it, the naked skin with no ring there. And it's just, you could just see it all just boiling in his brain. It's a level of subtle storytelling. It's like, you don't get that anymore.
Nope. So he he gets off the crates and he starts to wheel Ciampa back to the ring. He pulls him off the stretcher, throws him in the ring, locks on the Gargano escape, and he's tapping out. No, there's no referee because there's a ref bump. And then he's looking at him and he's like, no, can't finish him off. And then he gets handcuffs and he starts super kicking the crap out of Ciampa. Can't do anything. And he puts on the Gargano escape again. And you have
everyone they can put a shirt on was coming out to try and pull him off, and John just punching them off one by one.
A wild Steve Corino appeared at one point, took a bump.
Master ball, right now. Go get those sightings every day.
So everyone's pulling him off. And
let's not pick that particular phrasing. It's a kinky enough match as it is.
Oh, I know. So Gargano escapes, and they're just trying to get him away, but he gets up on the ring apron, Ciampa's up, drops him with a DDT on the exposed wood boards, and I just started to laugh at that point as Tommaso wins the match. I sat here laughing for like 20, 30 seconds. It's just how that finish went, because it was perfect. It was the perfect ending to the match.
Everybody was like so shocked. Just like, oh my God, what the hell? And you're just like, yep, that's how that needed to end.
Yeah.
Right there. Just the two of them laying there in utter pain, Tommaso in handcuffs on like bare boards, Johnny Kike shaking, and just the crowd just stunned. I mean, there's just chaos around them. There's stuff everywhere. This was beautiful. This was so beautiful.
The attention to detail at the end to get the heat back on Tommaso was when he's sitting on the side of the ring and the referee raises his hand and goes, winner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that
Ciampa still has no music makes that so much more chilling.
Mm-hmm. The final match would take place at Mount Doom.
Not quite.
So, see, we were asked, what do
the
we
one think? Ring on a pole match.
The one ring on a pole match. We were asked earlier in the chat, what do we think they will do next for Ciampa Gargano 3? And we talked about this on Thursday when we did the preview.
Hell in a Cell.
There's only one way to finish this. You've had an unrestricted match, essentially, but Gargano was not even a member of the roster.
Unsanctioned match.
You've had a street fight here, which is typically a blow-off style match, and both men basically murdered each other. Not attempted, legitimately tried to kill each other in this match. The only way you can finish this otherwise is to just lock them in a cell and be like, beat the ever-living hell out of each other. Whoever walks out wins.
Wait, when did WWE Creative hire Vince Russo back? Candace on a pole match?
With the theme of tonight, that just doesn't sound right.
Devil's Fan has a good idea. An I Quit match.
I Quit is good, but I'd rather see Cell. This has the intensity, this has the violence level for the Cell. This needs to be the Cell. You can do the stipulation where loser leaves NXT, if you want.
Yeah, you don't even need that, but just the hearing the other one say I Quit is a good idea. It plays into the story, and if NXT is going to get a type of match, they could get that.
Yeah, but it's the type of feud where the Cell makes the most sense. Because this is the old school way that the Cell is supposed to be used. It's supposed to be so dangerous for everyone involved that even invoking it is supposed to scare the person who does invoke it. It is supposed to be where feuds die. It is supposed to be the most dangerous place you could possibly bring someone to inflict damage on them in the WWE. Not because November rolled around.
Well, it's also to keep people out. Let's not forget that the whole reason the Cell was really created was Taker and Shawn. They wanted to find a way to keep DX out of the match so Taker could have Shawn all to himself.
Yeah, and then Kane just ripped that shit off.
And then Kane showed up and just ripped that shit off and ruined the whole thing, which Taker was not happy about.
But let's be honest. Candace is ready to do that right now.
Candace is so ready to do that. But yeah, no, just book Candace versus Ciampa at the next takeover. I still want to see her fight him because I'm pretty sure she could kill him. But this has the right story where it's, okay, we want to keep officials out. We want to keep Candace out. We want to keep everybody out of this match where I'd want it to be just us. And we just fight each other till the bitter end. And whoever wins wins, and that's it. It's over after this. We don't touch each other after this.
See, by just saying hell, all that jumped into my mind was, you guys remember that match, Legacy versus DX, back when they put that in the cell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they taunted Hunter with Sean at the cage?
Yeah.
I absolutely see Tommaso doing that at one point, if they put this in a cage. It would be amazing. Yeah, I could see her sitting there at the cage door, and he just has Johnny's face right up against it, staring at her. The heat that would generate from that alone would implode Brooklyn.
It really would.
It would be amazing.
So, that's NXT Taker. This was a hell of a show.
I do have one thing I want to say on the Tommaso Gargano match, because I forgot to say at the beginning. It's about the gear. I really appreciate the fact that they wore pants. I love that they came fully dressed for this, because I always hate it when they're like, oh, we're going to do a street fight, or we're going to go all over the arena, and they show up in their underwear. I mean, it's just like, that makes no sense to me whatsoever, that you're throwing each other off of stuff, you're hitting each other with stuff, and you're essentially naked while you're doing this. So I really appreciate the fact that Johnny and Tommaso both wore pants. That's the only time you're ever going to hear me say that in wrestling.
Darius in chat room goes, I live in Brooklyn, if that happened, Brooklyn really would implode. Yep.
Yep, but yeah, I love the fact that they both wore just street clothes essentially for this, even if Johnny's were... They were Captain America and Thanos themed alike. They still wore street clothes for a street fight. They were dressed appropriately for the occasion.
It's a harken back to the 80s style wrestling that everyone always wants. It was just perfect.
The whole thing.
Yeah, there's no modern elements to this. There's no fire extinguishers. They didn't need tables, even though the crowd chanted for it.
Well, but they got tables.
They had tables, but they didn't drag them out or anything.
Right, it wasn't, we're going to pull all this stuff out. We only pulled out a few weapons, and yeah,
it worked.
This was a Dusty Rhodes-style match without the dusty finish.
And it was perfect.
It was.
So perfect.
Brent, do you have our picks?
Yes. Okay, so going bottom to top, going 3-2 tonight. Good job, Rock.
Woo! Woo!
What
did I pick in the main event?
You picked Johnny.
Okay, wasn't true.
You had Johnny and Dream.
Got it.
I apparently am no better than a child toy. We both went 4-1, and then two other people had picks. So let's go on, Rock.
Wait.
That'll do it for the Rock Extra Live.
No, come on. Speak up.
TJ and Lindsay win 5-0. Okay.
Coming up next on the live stream will be some Fortnite play before Seabrita Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Go ahead, Lindsay.
Suck it. Just suck it. All of you. Suck it. Or the two of you. Suck it. Just, you know, Meg and I got this.
Mm-hmm.
Virtual high five. Anyway, yes, you can tune in to The Rack every Thursday. Tim P. Meester right here on wildtalkradio.com. But Omega, you have stuffs to plug, so plug away.
So, if you want to follow me, you can find me over at TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel, which is currently on hiatus. But hey, we still post a few things here and there. Fortnite with friends. It's got an intro now. And of course, we have TJOmega.net for all of the stuff that YouTube doesn't like. Oh, and there's TJ reviews on Facebook, because screw the guy who took the name first.
We hate him, Brent. Anything that you would like to plug?
Sorry, I was on mute for that. When I am not at work, and I'm now officially up to 1,700 even straight.
God,
so.
Just move on.
That's right, I'm 300 days away from the road to 2,000. The road starts now. But when I'm not at work, you can catch me on Twitter at Kane Kittens, or you can find me playing Fortnite with everyone over here.
Squad goals coming up in just a minute. We're going to talk about it. We're going to do Fortnite, like, legit. This stream will end. It will restart in Fortnite. That's the plan before we do Seabrita. Stick around. Have some fun. It's Rack Radio Show on the Facebook, Twitters, the YouTubes, the Stitchers, the iTunes, Google Plays. Twitch.tv/WTRLive is the Twitch channel. Anything else we need to plug, Lindsay? Oh.
Well, we can plug my Twitter, at LinsWard, LNSWRD.
Oh, we have an announcement, because we talked about this last night. Since we're doing the 6-year show in 10 days, right? Something like that. whatever it is, we're doing Ask the Rack for June 28th. Send your questions to at Rack Radio Show, at Wild Talk Radio. We're doing Ask the Rack. So you got stupid questions, you got weird questions, you got wrestling questions. We'll answer them all on the Ask the Rack in 2 weeks. Thursday night we will be reviewing Money in the Bank. Omega and myself and Tim and Mike will review Money in the Bank tomorrow night, Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern. I think that's everything.
So, for Omega, for Kane Kittens, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to the Rack Extra NXT TakeOver Chicago 2 edition right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back with Fortnite. So, till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.